took the Father's love and affirmed to you that that would not kick you out of the house. Because so often, like when we say the love word, it's so distorted in our nation anymore. Like celebrities are loved until they do something wrong and then they're pushed to the side. Politics are loved until they make the first mistake and then we shove them off and we have nothing but judgment to come against them. And so often, love gets thrown around so complacently. Like, it's just like, oh, you know. So when we talk about this love, it's exactly what Panda and George have shown Celine. It's that, like, he wants you to love and show love because he loves you, not try to do these acts of service to show, to gain his love. His love is not or it's not earned. It isn't awarded. It's just given, and it's there for you to receive. And that's like so hard for us as a generation and as a nation to understand, because it doesn't sit well with us, because we always feel like, oh, but we have to do this first, we have to do that first. But God says, no, I want you the way that you are, and those things will fall off when you fall in love with me, because he's at such a high standard. Like, it doesn't mean that he can't love you through them. So many people think that he's going to just shut the door on you and be far away from you because you've made that mistake. And so then you try doing all these things to make it up to him, to show, oh, no, I promise I could do it better this time. And then we work for his love. But he's like, no, stop. Stop striving. I don't want you to strive. I want you just to love me. Just let me love you. And so if you guys are struggling with that, because for so long I just realized that I saw God as like a sergeant of a military or something, like this big disciplinary, and I had to, yes, sir, all the time, and I only act out of obedience because that's what I knew. Like, I did the obedient thing because I was scared of his power and you know, disappointment, but that's not how God wants. Of course he wants you to honor him, but you honor him through loving him and through loving others and showing them the love of God. But you have to first understand what that word love is, and it's not to do these things and this thing and that. That's not going to get you any further. It's good, the acts that you do when you serve your community and when you serve other people and give to them. But if you're not doing it out of true love, but you're doing it to earn a merit, then it means nothing to the Lord, and it's all in void. So if you guys are, I just want to feel really impressed that if you have a distorted version on love, or if you have something like you have that spirit of like you feel like you can't come to the Lord, or you have to stand back because you're not there yet, or you don't feel like you can do it because you have this and this first, and I want you to come up here. Like, I don't want you to hold off anymore, and I'll be the first one to stand here. But just allow him to break that off of you, and just to love you because he does, like simply because he wants you, because he sees in you the gold, and he wants to pull that gold out of you, and so you can see for yourself and affirm that you always have a place with him, always.
So that was, if you were dealing, which I'm right there with her. Say, but Pastor, you've been preaching about all this stuff. Does not matter. It's still a fight to get it here. I just started a whole new series in my iPad, and I went through and I found, I'm looking for every time that the word is love in any way is being used in the Bible, and I'm studying it. And not to know it up here, but to get it here. To hide his word in my heart. When he says beloved, that means divinely loved of God. Next time you read that word beloved, don't just read it like, oh yeah, be loved. Be loved. Divinely loved by God. It makes no sense. That's why it's such a struggle. That's why it's so hard. That's why most of us who have been in church the longest struggle with it the most. Because we have been, yes, sir, for so long. That's so good, Nance. That's right. We've been conditioned to put on a front so that we would be accepted by God. When he fully accepts us. Remember last week? We're blameless brides. Blameless. Without fault. Without guilt, without shame. Yeah, we make mistakes. But even in her mistakes, she's blameless. Because she's not in her own righteousness. We're in Christ's righteousness. And this key right here is the key to freedom. It's the key to life eternal. It's the key to joy. It's the key to contentment. It's the key. It's the door that we have to walk through. Jesus is the doorway, and he made the doorway to love. We think he made the doorway to heaven, but he made the doorway to love. So, one more time. See, if we miss an opportunity, when God is presenting that opportunity, it may come around again, and you can at home catch it again, just on your own, what the Lord moves in your heart. But God wants to reveal his love today. He wants you to receive it. That's one thing that Pastor Gay said. Do you hear the word receive in all this? I didn't hear it as much, but now I do. I see God wants us to receive his love today. And again, all of us who are religious, grown up in church, all that, I have the love of God. Careful. Take care when you throw that out. Make sure that you're in him, in his love, in his righteousness, that it's nothing in your own strength. This is key. This is the moment right now. I mean, we could go on with messages, send the kids down, but God wants to do something right now in some lives that are going to cement you in Christ like never before. So I encourage anyone that's struggling with love of God, the true love of God, knowing that he really loves you. I'm right here right now.
Something we heard this week, I even taught on it in my cell group, is found in Matthew 3:17, and it says, "And behold, a voice from heaven said, 'This is my son, my beloved, in whom I'm well pleased.'" The next chapter is 4, and it says, "Then." So there's no break there, really. It continues on. It says, "Then Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness, and he went without food for 40 days and 40 nights, and later he was hungry. And the tempter came to him and said, 'If you are the Son of God.'" Do you notice that he leaves out the beloved part? The very first thing the enemy will do to us is break our love connection with God. He will take out that beloved part. He will try and make us feel like we are not loved. He even did it with Jesus. "If you are the Son of God," not the beloved Son of God, but if you are the Son of God. Jesus has a love connection with us. That's what it's all about. Tyson Hohner, you are loved by God. He wants you to receive that today. I've been praying for you this morning, since early this morning. God wants you to receive that today. You don't have to do one thing. He loves you. You are loved of God. The only thing you have to do, there's one exception, and that's receive it. That's it. You don't have to perform. You don't have to do anything, but just say, "God, I receive your love." Even if you can't say, "You love me, God," if you just say, "I receive your love," there's your first step right there. Just say it over and over again. "I receive your love, Jesus. I receive your love, God. Thank you, God."
Your name is holy. Thanksgiving. Our hands up to the Lord this morning. And I lift my hands to worship you, my Lord, forever. Oh, I bow my heart, I bow my heart to honor you, my King, for you.
I'm feeling awfully convicted right now because I see mostly women up here who are publicly declaring maybe an insecurity in God's love. And I think maybe I'm feeling convicted because maybe I'm not doing my job as a husband. And I don't know if anyone else feels that way. But I would just like to pray for, just pray that God would show me if there's anything else I need to do as a husband to make my wife feel more secure in the love that the Father has for her. And I want to lift up anyone else who's feeling that way as well. I'm not going to ask anyone to come up here, but just agree with me in prayer if maybe you're feeling that way. Heavenly Father, you have bestowed upon me a great honor, and that is to be the priest of my home. And Lord, where I am inadequate, Father God, I pray that you would show me, Lord Jesus, so that I can be that priest, be that man of God that you desire me to be, Father God. I am the head of my household. There are heads of household here in this church, Father God. And if we're not doing our job, show us, Father God. Convict us, Lord Jesus. Not condemn, convict us. Show us, lovingly show us, Lord Jesus, what we need to do as men of God, as the priests of our home, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray for the women up here, these wonderful women of God. And I thank you for them, Lord Jesus. And I pray that this insecurity, a feeling of being unsure of whether or not they're loved, I pray that that would just go away in Jesus' name, that you would be the source of their joy, that you would fill them with peace and happiness, and remind them of who they are, Father God, in you, Lord Jesus. Yes, daughters, they are daughters of the Almighty God. And Lord, I pray that you would use us as men, guide us, Father God, in helping them to feel secure, to know that they are loved not only by us, by their men, but by their daddy in heaven as well, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for these women. And thank you for, gosh, I don't want to say position, but God, you made us to be the leaders in our homes, Father God. So help us to step up, Lord Jesus. Help us to be bold and to take charge and to submit to you, Father God, so that we can lead our families, our wives, our children, and those around us in the directions that you want us to go. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Help us to be mighty men of God. Mighty. Mighty, Father God. I'm tired of being average, Lord. I don't want to be average. Help us to be radicals for you, amen, Lord Jesus. Radicals. Amen. Radicals, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Begin to change our hearts as men so that our families can be held together by your truths, Father God. Be the foundation of our families, Lord Jesus. And as men, again, I lift up the men of this church right now, Lord Jesus. In your name, I lift us up and I say, transform us, Father God. Transform us, Lord Jesus. And let us just take the reins and lead boldly in truth. Truth that you do love us, Father God, and that our women are loved. That they are daughters, daughters of the Almighty. Thank you, Lord.
He loves us. Oh, how
Father God, we receive. God, we open our hearts to receive this morning, Lord. God, we open up our hearts to receive your love right now, Father. God, break the chains of the past. Break the chains of the past. Break the chains of the past. We receive your love. We receive your love, God.
Thank you for the breakthrough, Lord, in lives today. Thank you, God, that you're revealing your love right now, God, to those, Lord, who felt away from you, have felt maybe separated from you, even though they truly weren't, you had them in your hand. Lord, I pray, God, that that work that you're doing, Holy Spirit, that work that you're doing of drawing them back to you would be complete. Break the lies of the enemy. Break the lies of the destroyer off of their life right now in Jesus' name. Release your power to break every yoke right now. Release your anointing to break every yoke right now, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
We rejoice in you. We rejoice in you. Oh, we rejoice in you.
Thank you, God. We rejoice in you, Lord. We rejoice in what you're doing in the lives right now, Lord. Thank you, God, that you're making your children free, God. Oh, Lord, you're opening blind eyes right now, God. Those who have been spiritually blind, Lord, are having their eyes open right now, God. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you, God, that spiritual sight is being established right now, Lord. God, that clarity, vision is coming now in Jesus' mighty name. I thank you, Lord, that ears are being opened, God. Thank you, Lord, that ears that have not been able to hear you for years, God, are now being opened, God. You'll be able to speak directly to their hearts, Lord. They'll be able to hear you now, Lord. Thank you for that, Father. Thank you, Lord, that stony hearts are being melted right now like wax in the presence of the Lord, and they're being turned into hearts of flesh, God. Lord, that they're coming alive to you, Lord. They're awakening, Lord, to their sonship, Lord, to their daughtership in Christ. Oh, they're receiving the love of God right now. It's becoming alive in them in Jesus' name.
Oh, we rejoice in you, Lord. We rejoice in you, Lord. It's unlearnable, unachievable, for you taking my place, wiped away my mistakes. It's your love, it's unlearnable, it's unachievable. Taking my place, wiped away my mistakes. It's your love.
Yes, Lord.
It's your love. It's unearnable. Unachievable. For you taking my place, wiped away my mistakes. It's your love.
God gave me the scripture, and it's the first scripture that many of us memorize in Sunday school, and it's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God really has impressed on my heart that there are one, maybe two people here that have never experienced that love and have never asked God into their heart. Maybe you have, maybe you've went away from him and you need to rededicate. But God wants you to know that just because you have strayed away or maybe you've never asked him, his love is always there for you. He's just waiting for you to invite him in, for you to experience that love. So I'm going to ask everybody to close your eyes and I'm going to say a little prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray right now for this one or two persons, whoever this is, Father God, that you will touch their heart right now, Father God. God, I pray that you will just, your heart's beating really fast right now. You know that God is putting his finger on your heart, so I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. If that's you, if you've never asked God into your heart, or if you've gone astray and you want to feel his love again, on the count of three, I just want you to raise your hand. I'm not going to make you come up here. I'm not going to embarrass you or anything like that. One, two, three. Father God, you saw the hand, Father God. God, I pray right now that you will meet your child in their place, Father God, of need, in their place of desperation, Father God. God, I pray that you will just wrap them up in your arms, Father God, and let them feel your love, Father God. Speak to their heart, Father God.
Okay, guys. I have something that might be a little bit challenging, but I think we can all do it together. So I want you to stand up, because you're going to have to brace yourselves. Sorry for the ones who have infants. But I feel like with the love of God comes an authority that we often forget. Like, the enemy is only as strong as we allow him to be. And really, there's like this authority that comes as soon as you allow the Christ into your life. He becomes your strength. And right now, I just saw the Lion of Judah just roaring. So I feel like us as a congregation, you're going to think about those things. Think about those things that have been holding back or making you upset or keeping you from your rightful place with the Lord, the love that you truly feel. And we're going to do this together because I'm going to count to three. And then we're all going to yell as loud as we can for as long as you can until the joy comes, okay? Because there's joy that comes in the morning. But right now we need to just be in that stance of like defending yourself and allowing the Lord and roaring at that enemy. Because he's really scared. He already knows your victory. He already knows that you've won. He's just trying to make you think that you haven't. He's very crafty in that way. He counts us out because he finds out what our failures are and he tries to make you think that you haven't won yet or makes you false. So, are you guys ready? Okay, ready? Think about that thing. One, and I mean really yell. This is not just pansy. This is like we are roaring like a lion, okay? Two. Ready? Got that thing? Three.
You know that warriors yell when they are ready to fight the enemy. Well, the beauty of it is that we don't have to fight. It's God fighting for us. So we're just agreeing with the success and with the victory that's already in Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm gonna go ahead and have the children go downstairs for a little bit. Yeah. I know it's five after, but it's like I just really sense that God wants to say something through Eric and Nancy, and that it's the kids are going to receive. How many know that there's no time in heaven? Anybody? So we better get used to it. We really do. We need to get used to no time in heaven. I'm not saying that, you know, I just want to keep families away from things. If you have things to do, you can go. But we really need to pursue and continue to entertain God and give him all the room in our lives that he needs to do the work in us, right? Lord, I thank you for your children, God. They're your children, Lord. We're parents and we have them, Lord, by your grace. You've given us the ability, Lord, to reproduce, God. But Lord, they're still your children, God. Lord, and we pray for your children, God. We pray, Lord, that they would realize, Lord, that they're yours. They'd realize, Lord, that they're called for such a time as this, for today, for now, Lord, that they have giftings and they have things for others, God, that they can share and give away, Lord. So I pray today, God, that that would be activated in your children. Bless them as they go. Bless their teachers, Lord. Let Tyson and Angela deliver, Lord, the word that you have, Lord, for this group today, Lord, in such a way, Lord, that they're activated into their sonship and their daughtership. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. Everybody said amen. Well, praise the Lord. I really believe that God still isn't done here today, because I believe that we're to hear about living a miracle, because that's what this couple is doing. They're living a miracle. Every day is a miracle for them. Every day is a gift from God in to be following His will, where He is the one that's sustaining them. He's the one that's giving them everything that they need to be who they're called to be. And I know that even though you haven't gone to school like Eric and Nancy have in obedience to Christ, you've done other things in obedience to Christ, and now you need to see God be the one who meets the need where you're at. And I believe that Eric and Nancy are a testimony that God is alive and well. These are sons and daughters, not only to the Lord, but to us. We love them. Did Nancy leave? Oh, okay. Well, she'll be back up, right? Because I'm sure she's not done, right? Got a fireball on your hands. Come on up, Eric. We love you. Our hearts are with you. We're just so excited about what God's doing in your life, and we just want to hear just whatever God's put on your heart, but share about some of the miracles, too, because I know there have been miracles.
Hello. It is so good to be back home. You guys are beautiful, and I miss you guys so much. I think about you guys every day. Some of you I don't know, but like Pastor said, Nancy and I went down to Redding, California 2.5 months ago, and it has been a journey. It has been a journey. How many of you guys were here our last Sunday? You come on, babe. Our last Sunday, okay. And so I preached a message about running the race to win. And for the last 2.5 months, I've been eating my words. I've listened to that message probably once a month since, so you know, at least 3 times, just because I was like, okay, why did we do what we did? And then I listened to it, and I'm like, why did I say that? I'm so dumb. But come on, how many of you guys have been running this race and are tired? Come on, any hands up. How many of you running the race of faith and you're tired? Well, I still stand firm in what I spoke on about running the race to win. We're still running the race. We're not at the end by any means, but it has been amazing. And I'm tired, and I'm worn, and I lost some hair, and all that stuff. But God is come through, and God has pushed me through, and He will push you through as well. I'm going to let my wife share real quick, but before I do, I really feel, and I felt this press in my spirit like a couple of weeks ago, and I text Pastor, and I really felt God spoke to me about the church. I want to ask, is there anybody in here that has been really, really struggling financially? Like, I mean, really, really struggling. And you don't need to be embarrassed, because I've been struggling financially. Come on. And so if you have, I just want you to be so brave, and I just want you to raise your hand if there's anybody in here. All right. So right now, I just want to release something over you, okay? How many of you guys know that heaven is accessible to us? That we have total access to heaven, and that our Father, our loving Father, wants to give us, like Pastor Gay was saying, this is a service of receiving. Well, every day is a day of receiving, okay? And our dad loves you. Your dad loves you. And so right now, I just want to release something, and I just want you to put your hands out like this. Those of you who want to receive this blessing, I just want you to just receive this right now, okay? So Jesus, we thank you that you love us. We thank you that you care about our needs. And Papa God, right now, Lord, I just want to release a blessing of financial provision into these lives. I just speak blessings. I speak checks in the mail. I speak raises. I speak jobs. I speak promotions into their lives right now. Anonymous donations. I speak that you would put it on people's hearts to bless these people, and just like you've blessed us. And I thank you, Lord, that you are a loving God, that you are true to your promise, God, and that you would meet them where they need. And I thank you for this in Jesus' name. And so you guys just receive it. Just know that God has your best interests in mind, and that he's not going to let you go without that. When you get to that point where you want to give in, let me just share something real quick. I don't know if this is a true story but I heard this story about the mining days, back in the mining days, whenever that was. And there was this guy, and he owned this mine, and he was mining, and he was looking for gold, and he would find these little pieces of gold as he was mining, but he wouldn't, you know, he's looking for the big, like the jackpot, like he wanted to be rich, and he kept looking so he kept finding these little pieces, and he wasn't getting it. And so he said, you know, after like however many years, he gave up, and he sold his mine shaft or whatever. He sold his land to a company, a mining company. That company came in, started mining where he left off, and about, let's just say 10 feet in front of him where he stopped was the biggest find in all of California. Okay, you guys need to know that your blessing is right around the corner. How many people start things and then give up and not know that their blessing is right there? When it gets the hardest is probably the time when it's right around the corner, right where God is saying, okay, just keep pushing through. Because when you let God do what he does best and come through, then your life is blessed. Amen.
Katie up here too, because it feels incomplete without her. Katie? Yeah, so the three of us have been going through the trials together, as well as my kids. Like, I mean, it's so many times we hear testimonies of people walking in faith, but you only hear when they've gotten to the top of the mountain and how good it was and all the good things. And you don't, I mean, so you're like, yeah, I want to do that, I can do that. Well, before we left, Pastor got a vision for us. And how many of you guys know that God doesn't, when he speaks, there's layers to what he's saying. So he can continue to unfold that same word for like months, years after. And it's still speaking true and revealing new layers to what it was. Because he had this vision that we were on a boat, our little, like, a little dinky boat in this, like, swamp-infested waters. And it was really dangerous, and it was completely dark. The only light was, like, the moon, right? The stars. And so we had to just, the only way that we're going to be able to find our way is by keeping our eyes on the light, keeping our eyes on Jesus. He was our light, the one that knew our path, and we just needed to keep focused on him. He said that there are dangerous things in this water, and they can take you out if you focus on them and start worrying about those things instead of where you need to go. And, yeah, it's so true. through this faith journey, there have been days that we try to make things happen because we freak out. And so then we're like, oh, my gosh, we got to call this person, that person, to see what we can do. But it wasn't until, and it's continually like this, that when we actually partner with the promise, the promise that we're going to make it, the promise that God did call us there, the promise that we are in, he is our provider and he is faithful. Instead of the question that the devil likes to throw at us all the time, even Jesus got a question thrown at him from the devil. When he was baptized, the clouds opened up and God said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. The very next verse, it says that he went to the desert to be tempted, and the devil came and said, if you are the son of God, then. And so many times we only hear the if you are instead of that you are. And we've heard that you are, but right away, as soon as we step outside these doors, the ifs come. And that's when we get discouraged, and we can either choose to partner with the promise that we heard in here and walk it out, look it in the face and just say, thank you, God. Or we can partner with a question and be tossed around all kinds, and then we lose sight of the promise, and then you never get to really fulfill that calling. So yes, it is not easy to walk in faith. It's much easier than walking with the guilt and knowing that you never did do what God set you out to do. Like that, like every time I think about, because we've had days where we've been just, I mean, on our knees crying, like, you know, we just need to go home. How much easier would it be just to be home with the people that you love, But then it's like you get sick to your stomach because you're like, oh, I'm so wrong right now. It feels so good to say. But we all know the truth is that that's not true, that it would not be easier to be here. Actually, it would be harder because we know that not only are we cutting ourselves out of the promise, but we're also letting you guys down in the sense that what we're going through is not just for us. We're a family. And everything that every time we step out in obedience and walk in faith, you guys are walking in faith and stepping out in obedience and receiving the harvest or receiving the treasure that we get from that. Like, we try to impart whatever it is, that the revelations that we're learning, which is a lot. Sometimes it's hard to take notes because every sentence that comes out of Mr. Johnson's mouth is revelation, and you're just like wrecked in your seat, and you're like, oh, how do I even write that? And because he goes so fast. But anyway, oh, I had something I was going to say. Give me a second. Oh, okay. What? Okay. I would never have done that like 3 months ago. Never. I would have been the disobedient one and just like groaned with God forever and tried to do all these services to make it up for that one time that I disobeyed before because I didn't want to step outside my comfort zone. But I received a freedom when I did that. I hope all of you guys did too, because I didn't feel like that was just for me. I felt that was for the congregation, so I did it with all of you. It's something I want you guys to practice doing, stepping out and just allowing him to work with you, because God doesn't speak one way. As so many people, we were like, oh, God, I just want to feel you. God, I just want to see you. Being in the culture that we're in, it kind of sucks sometimes being conservative because you feel like you're broken. But it's not true. Like, God speaks to different people in different ways. He has so many languages, and we just have to build relationship with him by staying in his word and keeping open communication with him, praying with him, tell him. One of the things I'm learning is find out who you are in him and allow yourself. There was a word today for a person that I gave, but it was a revelation to me a little bit ago, was we shame pain. The church as a whole and a nation, it makes you seem weak whenever you allow anger to come in, or if you're angry or you're in pain or you've been hurt and you don't process those things, that's when you're sinning in a sense. Because like so many times us in the church, we feel like we have to zip everything up and look our best. And this, you know, of course we forgive the person or whatever, but that's where it stops. And then we never get the full joy that comes in the morning. We're supposed to grieve the things that come against us. Like, doesn't mean that you dwell in them and allow it and never transform or never come to the other side and be in that constant state of, what is that? Anyway, it'll come to me. But it's allowing yourself to know that God loves you just like you love your children, or if you don't have children yet, like your parents may have loved you, or the person that you love most would have loved you. And that is, they help you. They coach you through the pain. They coach you through the loss. They coach you through the hate and the hurt. So that way, you know, you start to learn how to do it healthily. Some of us never really learn, but we're working on it. And so, you know, just going through those processes, it's okay to feel those things. It's okay to look them in the face and say, you know what, God, you did make me mad. Yep, sure did. And this is how it makes me feel. And like, oh, groan at him, because he wants that. He wants relationship. That, my husband, bless his heart, he gets my groaning all the time. But he knows I love him. And so, because I feel like he's a safe place. I probably shouldn't do the way that I do sometimes. But working on it. So there's a safety in that, and there's a relationship that comes with it. And just begin, and once you start doing those things, allowing yourself to be angry, just don't sin in your anger. Don't go over that person and hit them because you're angry. That's not right. But talk to God. Allow him to process that, those angers with you or those hurts, and just tell him, God, this is how this makes me feel. And work at it until there's a peace or a joy. Okay, because eventually those things are going to come, and you're going to be able to, when you've processed it with the Lord, there's relationship between you and the Lord. So you're staying in communication with him. You're becoming to know your identity with him and finding out that he really was with you in those things and knowing where he's standing with you. But also, you're able to rise into higher places with him, and you're able to teach others how to do the same thing. And then you become good disciples, because most people think that you have to be perfect before you come before the Lord, but that's not true. That's a lie of the enemy. Like, when you love the Lord and you allow him to love you back, those things just break away. And then it becomes easier. It doesn't mean that life gets easy by any means. If nothing else, it's going to be harder. And I can say that in truth. Like, there are days you don't know where food's going to come from or how you're going to get heat or whatever, but it's so worth it because God is always faithful. He's always in a good mood, and he loves you.
I mean, they pretty much said a lot already, but if you are struggling and if you are going through something, I've learned throughout this whole entire thing that my faith has gotten so much stronger. And like I said, if you're struggling, just make that extra move in and take an extra step, because faith is risk, and you gotta take a risk. So, yes.
So Katie, was it last month? Okay, so last month we're at church, and they do baptisms at their night service, and they do it a little different. They have all the people that are getting baptized come up, and at this night there's like 20 people, and they have each person share a testimony, and then they do it like in the middle of worship, and then they baptize them, and they continue worship. So anyhow, the guy, Kevin Dedman, I think it was, said they did all testimonies, and he said, if you're out there and you feel like you want to be baptized right now, then come get baptized. And so they get into worship, and then I feel a tap on my shoulder, and Katie's like, I think I need to get baptized. And for those of you who've been baptized, you know that you come prepared. You bring extra clothes and to change into. But we were at church, so I'm like, okay, let's go do it. And so we went in there. She got baptized in her full wardrobe. Come on, that's risk, right? But she knew, she felt the pressing on her heart. And what's cool is that she was saying is that she knew she needed to get baptized. She was planning to call Pastor Gay and say, hey, when we get back, can you schedule baptisms? Because I want to get baptized. But God was like, no, how about you get baptized right now? So yeah, God is moving in a huge way. I wrote last night, I spent some time and I just started writing down like all the testimonies. And so I just want to just real quick, I want to share with you guys. We left here. I preached, said, run the race to win. And I'm like, but I don't even know what that means. So we got in the car. I was in U-Haul. I was like, where are we going to stay, God? We ended up getting to Aurora, Oregon, stayed with some friends, and it was awesome. And we had checks. We had a couple checks from the church and from people that we needed to deposit in our account. Now, this all plays in because I had checks. So I had money, but I really didn't have money, and I didn't really have money in my bank account. I couldn't deposit these checks because it was Sunday, and the next day was a holiday. And so I had no money. I had a U-Haul. I had a van. And so we're just like, God, how are you going to get us there? But he got us there. And then we get there on a Monday night. It's late. And I don't know how many of you guys know the story or not, but we got there and we're like, well, what do we do now? Because as you guys know, we didn't have a place to stay. We didn't know where we were staying. So Nancy's like, well, let's go to Bethel. That's why we came here. So we went to Bethel and they have a 24-hour prayer room. We went in there and prayed for a little bit. And we're like, well, we still don't know what we're going to do. So we ended up sleeping in the parking lot of Bethel Church. The kids were in the van, and then Katie and Nancy, and I was in the U-Haul. And it's a good thing, like, I'm small, so I could just, like, curl up on the seat. And the next morning, we get up, and still nothing. And at this point, I'm freaking out because we go to the bank. I had to open another bank account because I bank Banner here. There's no Banner Bank in California, so I had to open another bank account. All the money that I deposited got put on hold. And so, again, I have money, but I don't have money. So I'm like, what am I doing? And I call Pastor Mike, hoping he'd be able to, like, help me in some way. And he just had me pray, which really did help. I remember calling him, and I'm just crying because I'm like, oh, my gosh, I just drove 500-plus miles with my family, and we don't know what we're going to do. And in short, what I got, I don't remember all the words you said, but what I got from what he did say was, man up, go get your family and pray. And so I did. And so I went and we prayed. About an hour later, we went back to get the U-Haul and stuff, and I get a phone call from a guy that I had been in contact with about renting a place. And he said, hey, I have that place. It's still open. Told him our financial situation. He said, don't worry about it. You guys can just get me the money when you get the money and just move in. And so right away, God blessed us with the place. And we thought that maybe like a month or so would go by and we would be okay. We'd have jobs and stuff. Here we are in November. We still don't have jobs. But in these last 3 months, God has paid our tuition, paid our rent, paid for gas, paid for food. And that's God. And come on, that's God. Now, obviously, he used people he placed it on people's hearts to do that for us. But God will move how God wants to move. Now, money is nothing to God. God can make money drop in my hands if he wanted to. But he wants to use you. He wants to use people to bless others. So come on, if you're feeling like you need to bless people, like you need to do it. Because I know that for the people that have blessed us, I know it's going to come back tenfold to them. And I mean, I'm so grateful for all that. A couple of other things that have... Oh, yeah. We ate Jack in the Box for a long time. I wanted to share about my daughter because we've had plenty of financial breakthroughs. It's been awesome. But my daughter, if we moved down there just so my daughter can get touched the way she's gotten touched, it's been worth it. And she goes to church with us on Sundays, obviously. And in her class, they really just bring the gold out of the children. It's less about them just hanging out and playing and whatever, but they really focus on the children and how Jesus wants to use them. And my daughter brought glory into her class. Every time we go pick her up from class, they're like, "Oh my gosh, your daughter has just released glory into this room, and I'm stuck to the floor right now because Jesus is in this place." And
So yeah, one girl was on the floor, laid out, and she's like, "I'm supposed to be helping these kids, and I can't do anything because God's so heavy." And she was naming angels and showing them where they were. It was amazing.
Okay, yeah. So my kids have really gotten touched. Hearing them pray, we pray every night together now, which is not, we prayed before with them, but not like we do now. Now it's like even little Caden at 2, he's praying for people in, like, you know, we get prayer requests about people in the hospital and stuff, and he always prays for the people in the hospital. And hearing my daughter say, there's no pain in heaven, the devil has no keys, Jesus, you took the keys from the devil, and things like that are just amazing. And how many of you guys know the story about Jesus feeding the 5,000? Okay, so the disciples came to Jesus, and there was a bunch of people following Jesus, and it was actually probably more than that because I was just counting the men. And the disciples said, "Hey, send all these people home. We don't have food to feed them." And Jesus said, "You feed them," and he multiplied the bread and the fish. Well, a little bit after that, it happens again, and again the disciples come to him. And you would think that they hang out with Jesus, that they would know, like, oh, Jesus is just going to do the same thing he did before. But no, again, they come to him. "Hey, we need to feed these, or send these people home because we don't have food to feed them." And again, he says, it says, feed them. Now, what we've learned is that it's illegal to think that if Jesus has done it once, that he won't do it again. And that is something that has gotten me through in my family, is because Jesus has come through in the months past. And I've had moments where I just want to quit and I just want to throw in the towel. And I think every month so far I've called Pastor Mike crying, like, "What am I going to do?" And I'm hoping he's going to give me some like profound answer. And he's just like, "Just pray." And so, but it works every time. And he's like, "Call me back when God comes through." And I'm like, "Okay." And then I call him or I text him and I say, "Hey, yeah, this is what happened." It is profound. And so simply put, we complicate things and we think we need to figure all these things out, but you just need to pray. And I've never been put in a situation like this. It's scary. I'm not going to lie. It's scary going month to month thinking, how's God going to do this? Just in October, our rent was due. We didn't have our rent. And I had a check and I was like, and I felt God just saying, just give him the check. God told me to give him, and I don't recommend this, so don't like say, "Oh, I'm just going to start writing check." No, don't do that. If God tells you to do it, do it. But God said, just give him the check. I gave him the check, and within a couple days, our rent came through in our bank. And so things like that happened this last month. Our rent was due again, and I'm thinking, God, how are you going to do this? And I'm just trying to stay positive, and I'm just wondering how it's going to happen. And I remember I got home, and it was just a couple Thursday nights ago. I got home, and I was kind of bummed, and I was going to have to call my landlord and say, hey, I don't have rent, fearing what he was going to do. And right before I was going to call him, I get a text from a friend said, hey, I deposited some money in your account. And I'm thinking, oh, all right, cool. And I look at my account, and I had rent to pay for, and I had rent. So I was able to text my landlord and say, hey, I'll get you your rent tomorrow. So things like that have just been amazing, and they've just been happening, and God is real, and I know that more than ever now. And what else? Oh, Katie.
That same friend, that whole week I was praying, and I was just believing that, because we weren't sure how we were going to get here either. We weren't sure how we were going to get here. We weren't sure how we were going to pay rent, none of that. So I was like, okay, God, I give it all up to you. I'm fasting. It's, you know, all you. Yeah. And the day that money got deposited in the bank, I was out in the living room. I had no clue. I had worship music on. And all of a sudden, I just got this joy. And I started yelling and screaming and dancing. And I'm pretty sure the kids were like, what is wrong with her? But I just got filled. And I had no clue. And then I got a text message saying, we're going to be able to, you know, come home and our rent is paid. And I'm just like, you are so good, God. So let me tell you. Don't give up on him. He's an amazing God. He's a big God.
Yeah, his timing's totally not ours. I've been struggling because, like he said, you know, sometimes rent doesn't come for like 2 or 3 days after the time. I'm very, my dad grew me up to be very prompt. Grace periods are just that. They're for grace, not to be the due date. So to me, it's dishonorable to pay late and stuff. And I'm not saying, I don't mean it's okay to do this, but, you know, God has been doing a work in me to trust him, because sometimes I expect, and when I have, I'm sorry, we got to close it. Okay, anyway, so when we expect things, I tend to have a bratty attitude about it, like, well, God, you know, this is not exactly honorable because this was due like 2 days ago and you still haven't come through, so what's your deal? You know what I mean? Like getting like teenage-like, it's really gross, but I'm working on it. I'm getting better. I've had peace this last time all the way through it, so that's good. God's working on me and letting me know that sometimes we put the pause in the blessing because he's working on us and he wants us just to be thankful for what we do have, or to rejoice and give him praise. You know what I mean? Like, even that's why I say, like, sometimes you got to roar at the issue or just laugh at it, because sometimes it's in that, when you actually allow for that peace to come or just laugh at the situation, the question that's coming at you, that's when the blessing comes, or when God's able to come through, because he's your strength now, not you. And you're no longer trying to figure it out. And so just be blessed. I mean, Sissy, Skyly, she had a word for me one day. I was drawing with her. We were doodling together. And then Eric was going to come home shortly, so I wanted to get the kitchen clean. So I had quit. And I was kind of frustrated at this point because I hadn't, like I made a mention earlier, that being a conservative in that atmosphere, sometimes it's kind of frustrating because I feel like I'm broken because I, you know, people are manifesting so beautifully and they're able to just get out there and be zealous for the Lord. And I've been lost in this, like, God, if there's all these beautiful people who love you so much and just don't mind what they look like doing this and that, and here you have me, like, what? You know, I just want to dance with you, because people, they get these visions of themselves dancing with the Lord as a child. And I never see myself as an infant with the Lord. I always see myself as, like, you know, yes, sir. And, you know, in that, like, my military outfit ready to do the next thing, be obedient. But I didn't know how to get to that place of, like, love, you know, to serve him out of loving him, not out of duty, not out of because I respect, honor him, but I want to love him. So I told him, he's like, Lord, I just really want to dance with you. I want to get on your toes like Caden does mine. I just want to be able to rock with you. I want to dance. And that was my prayer that morning all by myself. And so when I got up from the couch from drawing, I had went into the kitchen to start my cleaning, and I was just in my head silently like, Lord, I just really want to dance with you. And Skyly was like, Mom, God says that if you want to dance with him, you should just do it. Just ask him. And I was like, what? Like, just totally shocked. And she's like, that's what he said. I'm like, okay, thanks, hon. You know, like, trying to gather myself and just cleaning. Like, yeah, okay, whatever. I don't know. Maybe she just whatever. And then, like, 2 minutes go by or so, and she's like, Mom, it's not very nice to keep God waiting. I was like, what? And she's like, he still wants to dance with you if you want to do it. He says, come and ask him. Just do it. And all the while, she's drawing a picture. And it's a prophetic picture because my daughter's really good at that lately. And so she's like, tell me. And as she's, before she rebukes me, she's telling me, Mom, I'm drawing the sea and this ladder, or the ladder, and God's on the top and he's drawing the sea. I'm like, okay, that's good, babe. And then I keep going. And then that's when she told me, no, God says, if you want to dance, just dance. And I was like, okay, so then I finally come over, I look at the picture, and she's like, Mom, he's, because she told me I'm supposed to ask him if he really told her that, because I don't believe him. I don't believe her that he told me that. And I'm like, what? And so she's like, just ask him. He's telling you to ask him. So I was like, hey, God, did you really tell my daughter to tell me that? And then, like, I get this, like, feeling, and I'm like, yeah, okay, baby, I believe you. And she's like, okay, so now dance with him. I ask him to dance with you. And I said, okay, God. And I'm, like, looking at the picture, and she's like, Mom, he's behind you. Like, I'm supposed to know this. And so I'm like, okay. So I went over to where she told me. And I'm like, hey, God, just dance with me. As I start to dance, she's like, Mom, you have to actually dance. You can't just stand there. I was like, okay. So I start, you know, like, kind of like, because, you know, she's, like, watching me. But preferably, she's, like, trying to make it not noticeable. She's trying to watch me. So I get to do that. And then I just start, this feeling comes over me. And so I just start dancing. And before I know it, I'm just into this thing. I don't even know. And my daughter's like, Mom, now I'm drawing the blood of Jesus because he wants you to have another drink so you can be saved again. He wants you to just come and take a drink because he wants to free you. You've been, she said, the devil keeps coming and telling you these lies, and he wants you to be free. He wants you to come drink from his blood and just be released from the lies. Because when the devil comes against you, he wants you to know to use your shield and your sword. And don't be afraid to hit him really hard with the shield and then cut him into pieces with your sword. So come have a drink. And I was like, I don't even think she understands the power in what she just said. So I, like, come over there and just start drinking. And just as freedom comes, a freedom from the lies of the fact that he's not my provider and that I'm doing everything wrong and maybe I put my family's best interest. But, like, just all this stuff started coming. And sometimes it takes a child. So your children are very sensitive to the Lord. And when they tell you things, it's good to listen and to be more like them and just play, like, take a drink of the blood of Jesus when you need freedom. You know what I mean? Like, it's good.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Is this not crazy what God's doing in this family? Sorry, Katie, I didn't see you. Good to see you, hon. Well, let's just pray a blessing over them. And I'm just going to ask anyone if you would like to participate and bless God, not only bless them, but bless God and the work that God is doing in them. You can write a check. Put down in the memo that it's for the Lopez's, and we will get it to them. Also, if you just want to bless them, you can just hand some cash into their hands. I just believe that as we continue to sow into what God's doing in their life, we will be blessed as a family here because this family is cared for by God, but he gives us an opportunity to be part of that. And I know that that's an honor that we have. So, Lord, we pray right now, God, for this family, God. Lord, we pray, Lord, that what you're doing in them, Lord, would be multiplying, God, that increase would come. I know it's hard for them to even say, how can we even hold anymore, Lord? But I know, God, that you're equipping them, Lord, with larger baskets, God. You're giving them the ability, Lord, to hold and store, God, all of the good things, Lord, that you want them, Lord, to carry to others. Lord, I pray that their hearts would be wide open, God, that any preconceived ideas that they struggle with, Lord, would be broken off of them. Lord, that truth that they're receiving, God, of being children of faith, God, children of God, and that you take care of them, Lord, so well. Lord, that truth, God, would guard and protect their hearts in Christ Jesus. We bless them now and thank you for them, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Josh has one more.
One final thing before we leave, second to the finalist thing, Feed the Need. Who knows what Feed the Need is? You've heard of it or you know of it. Well, they reach out to the homeless and extremely low income every week. And this week on Thanksgiving Day, they'll be doing a feed. And they're aiming to feed 500 people. And so anything and everything is helpful. So what I'm, because we partner with them, and I want to extend a hand of help to them in meeting their needs. And they're asking for hams, here's the numbers. And so if you're able to, you have it laid on your heart to help in any way, please come see me or get a hold of me, and we'll talk about the details. But there's 30 hams. They're asking for 20 apple or pumpkin pies, 70 boxes of stuffing, and 100 cans of cranberry sauce. Now, they've had a ton donated already by stores, people. And so just in the last days, well, the next couple days, we're in the last days, there is just a few things that need to be given. And so, again, if you have a desire in your heart to go beyond and extend that warm heart to others who may be not able to afford the luxuries of a Thanksgiving meal, then please come see me. It's this Thursday, obviously, on Thanksgiving, and it's 4 to 6 is the time. I'm sure it's going to be packed. If you want to help, it's 4 to 6, but right now the food is what's most important. So please come see me, and last but not least.
So next Sunday, we're going to be having a choir practice, a real-life choir practice after church. So next Sunday, right after church, for the Christmas program. And what am I saying? Okay. So God bless you and have a great day. Amen.